You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. We've got a kind of a packed pod today. We're emptying the notebook from LSU's offensive defensive line camps, as well as the skills camp this past weekend with our man, Sonny Shipp, who is on hand for it. And let's just jump right in, Sonny. This was what turned out to be a huge weekend for LSU. Obviously, Brad Davis, the offensive line coach that was just hired, was able to observe camp. We saw a little movement in the 2022 class with Lucas Taylor dropping off and committing to Mississippi State earlier this week. And then we also saw a new offer go out in Fitzgerald West. But I want to start with the big battle that really everyone has talked about all weekend and week now on Go 24/7. And that's Will Campbell and Quincy Wiggins, the 5-star offensive tackle out of Monroe Neville and the 4-star defensive lineman out of Baton Rouge Madison Prep, going at it in one-on-ones. And you said it so eloquently. This was what you called the biggest matchup that you've seen in all these camps.
Yeah. Well, Bill, it was an action-packed weekend on the LSU campus. And yeah, it all got started on that Saturday with that offensive line and defensive line camp. Not a ton of guys there, but being that, you know, this was the first camp on LSU's campus since 2019, I mean, that just had you, you know, really feeling like, okay, things are really getting back to normal with football now. And it was a good day, though. I'll tell you what, man. Yeah, that Will Campbell, Quincy Wiggins battle. And just to kind of, you know, to set the stage a little bit, Will Campbell, 5-star offensive tackle in the composite, one of the top offensive tackles in the country. Quincy Wiggins, a 4-star in the composite. He was the highest rated 3-star that he could possibly be with us, but that's going to change. I think you're going to see him just continue to shoot up the rankings. But that one-on-one battle, 23 years, man, that was the best series that I had seen. And, you know, it was just set up perfectly because there wasn't a lot of edge rushers there. Wasn't a ton of tackles there. So you got to see Quincy Wiggins and Will Campbell just go at about 8, 9, maybe 10 reps of just one-on-ones. And they were, man, to see two players of that caliber going up against one another like that, I mean, it just set the stage for they each won their share of the battles, you know, and it just shaped up to where I was like, man, I've never in all the years I've been doing this, I've never seen a series of one-on-ones just keep going back at one another at this elite level ever.
And to simplify it a little bit from your perspective, and there is, of course, the debate of who got the better of who. What was your main takeaway overall between those two prospects? Because I think it's easy to just sit here and say they are two elite prospects, and whether you view it one way or the other as far as who got the better of who in this camp setting, what were your takeaways just overall as them on them as prospects?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. They're both elite prospects. And it, in my opinion, as elite as it gets for their position groups in America. With Will Campbell, you know, people watch the videos and they see Quincy Wiggins get past Will Campbell and end up getting to the quarterback. And in their mind, they go, oh, that's a win for Wiggins. But what they don't consider is that it took him 3.25 seconds to get to the quarterback. Well, in the SEC, if your left tackle is giving you 3 seconds on a, you know, against such an elite pass rusher like that, you got to take that as a win for the offensive tackle to a degree. And so that's what you saw a lot of, you know. And then you saw some to where Wiggins would use a spin move, or you had one instance where Campbell tackled Wiggins. So it was just, you just had a wide array of things that you could take out of that to see, you know, just how good these guys are. And I knew Will Campbell, I had a good feeling that Will Campbell was that good going in. So he didn't really surprise me much, but the fire, the demeanor that he plays with, I mean, he's a nice kid, but I tell you what, when you put him in a competitive situation, that dude gets nasty. He gets nasty. They even had an instance where Bo Bordelon got into a little bit of a scuffle. His fellow LSU commit Campbell comes from the sideline to try to help Bordelon out. Like, you're not messing with my bro. And so just you just really got a good picture of how Will Campbell is on and off the field. And then also Quincy Wiggins too. So you get to see him go head to head like that. Then you get to spend a lot of time with them after that, of just picking their brain, you know, getting vibes off of them, getting to know a different side of them. And you see how much these two guys, who are both nice kids, just flip on a switch when they get on the field.
And you summed it up perfectly. And I think that overall, I mean, what a battle to be there for live. And we saw LSU give Fitzgerald West some reps at center. They end up offering him Bo Bordelon camped. What were your two impressions of those two prospects? One committed to LSU, and Fitzgerald West now trending to LSU on the 24/7 Sports crystal ball.
Yeah, and I could, I could see why. I think that Fitzgerald West probably made Lucas Taylor a little more expendable, with Fitzgerald West looking so good as an offensive lineman. In that camp, they played him at guard, they played him at center, they played him at defensive tackle. After the camp, they took him down into the end zone. They made him do some shotgun snaps to see how he snapped the ball. And after the camp, they offered him. And it's going to be, initially he wasn't that high on the offer of playing center, and he wanted to play on the defensive line, even if it was for a smaller school. But, who knows, by the time this podcast gets out, who knows where he'll be in his recruitment. But, yeah, I think LSU's got a good chance to pick him up. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, I think that made Lucas Taylor a little expendable. Didn't have a great camp, didn't have a bad camp. He was exactly what I thought he was going to be going in. A guy who's going to need a couple of years to get to where he needs to get to be able to get tossed into the mix. And the same goes for Bo Bordelon. You know, Bo Bordelon, he may need a redshirt year and then 2 years. And then by the time he comes out for that junior year, I think that's when you'll get his best football at that point. But, you know, such a difference from the offensive lineman LSU is used to taking in. You've got Bo Bordelon, who measures 6'4" and a half, 269 pounds. And he's very well put together. And he doesn't look he doesn't look like he's carrying that much weight. But the kid is very, very muscular. And I think with his footwork, that once his strength and his size catches up to the players, the type of players that he's going to be going against, once that happens, then you're going to, you're going to see a guy who I think could end up being one of those surprise players by the time they're a junior. You know, people start to write them off early in their career. All of a sudden they hang around, and now you've got a guy who could be pushing for a starting job on that offensive tackle.
And it just goes back to LSU continuing to prioritize the state of Louisiana as well. You see that with Bo Bordelon already committed, Fitzgerald West earning an offer over somebody like Lucas Taylor, who's from the state of Alabama. You know, Brad Davis, very familiar with him, offered him while he was at Arkansas. You know, he is somebody that ended up being expendable, and that's okay. It happens in the recruiting process. Tons of time for Lucas Taylor to go out and camp and get to know other staffs and things like that. And just a great kid overall. But Bo Bordelon, yeah, I agree with you. Going to need some time to develop. One player that, look, who knows where the LSU quarterback room will be when he steps on campus, but Walker Howard put on a show at LSU camp, working with Jake Johnson, Dakoldis Crawford, some of these other receivers and prospects that were on campus. What was some of your takeaways from watching Walker Howard get back to LSU's campus, where he was pretty much all weekend recruiting for the Tigers?
Well, I mean, Walker Howard is, you know, once again, I saw what I expected to see, a guy who's got a good arm, who's got plus athleticism that doesn't get talked about much, who looks like he's getting a little bit taller. And, you know, so I think there wasn't really a whole lot that I guess it jumped out at me, because he's always been very consistent. He's always performed well in those settings. And it was just another case of that on Sunday. Dakoldis Crawford is a guy that I did not expect to do what he did. I mean, that guy's good, man. He looked really good on Sunday and supported the notions that I had on film, but even surpassed them. I think he's a guy that, you know, I'm going to mention to Gabe that I think Dakoldis Crawford's a four-star kid. You know, if he plays like he did on over the weekend, strong hands, fiery competitor, ran good routes, got better separation than I expected him to get in a setting like that, that really allows corner, you know, allows these elite, you know, these cornerbacks to, you know, to kind of get a little bit of an upper hand in some of these, in some of these drills. But super impressed with him. And Jake Johnson, man, that guy, he's got wide receiver skills and a tight end body. I get all the angst over, you know, losing a weapon like Eric Gilbert, who's now at Georgia after the transfer. But man, you got a guy, Jake Johnson, coming in that this kid is going to be, he's going to be fantastic. He is going to be fantastic. Wide receiver hands, strong hands, catches the ball. He and Walker Howard, I think at one point, I had about 14 or 15 clips of Walker Howard, and I think 10 of them went to Jake Johnson.
Yeah, everything I saw was Jake Johnson looking the part, coming off of a tweak little injury that he had at Rivals camp. He got back and worked on, you know, getting ready to go for summer workouts and going for a state championship to, you know, to end his senior year. That was really something he mentioned to me when we caught up. Just before he hit the camp circuit for LSU and got back on campus. And, you know, it was a big weekend for him. I think he's got the chance, especially, you know, with the way he's going to be used in his offense at Oconee County, to, you know, kind of rise up the ranks a little bit. You know, he's not that five-star, looks particularly like Eric Gilbert off the bus, you know, five-star type of prospect, but I still think he's somebody who could rise up the ranks, could be, you know, a top, you know, 40 type prospect, maybe just outside that five-star range, just because of his production, his size, his athleticism. He's shown it. He's got all the makings of a tight end one. You know, it's going to be awesome to watch him as a senior. Same with Walker. Somebody that I think has kind of flown under the radar, Xavion Thomas. That's a name that we've heard from Coach G on the board. He clocked an impressive time. What were your impressions of him just getting to see him run around a bit?
Yeah, he's a little bit thicker than I thought he was. From looking at him on film, he looked like he wasn't carrying as much in the upper body. But he's filled out a little bit better than I expected. The 4.32 time in the 40, I mean, that's just blazing. Yeah, it's not laser, but you put it on a laser and it's still low 4.4. So very impressed with him. They even worked him out at cornerback. Landon Ibieta, another three-star wide receiver from here in Louisiana over at Mandeville. He impressed the staff too. He's got some visits coming up. You know, those two guys were right there in that next tier after Dakoldis, along with Amarian Miller, who also got an offer at the camp, the 2023 four-star wide receiver. Probably had the catch of the day where he, the ball was underthrown, so he had to dive back to it, scooped it up off the ground, just a fantastic catch. And he got an LSU, he earned an LSU offer. He's another guy that I put in a crystal ball pick over for after the weekend. So, you know, they had some nice skill position players for Walker Howard, Ricky Collins, the quarterback out of Woodlawn for 2023, Landry Liddy, Louisiana Tech 2022 quarterback commitment. LSU ended up offering a 2024 quarterback out of Texas, the Woodlands. So, you know, had some nice arms to watch and some guys who could catch the ball pretty well.
And the guys that defended them, Marcus Scott, one of LSU's commits, had a really impressive spring, you know, moving his 100-meter time up, you know, showing some speed. He's got that length that Corey Raymond likes, so you could see why he had the early take there before really anyone jumped on him. What, did you see anything from him that really stood out to you?
No, I, when I look at his recruiting ranking and when I hear what others have said about him, I've kind of had a mental picture formed on what I thought Scott would end up looking like. And it was kind of right along those same lines. Maybe I know he's right there on that brink for that four-star in the composite. I think he's probably around that 88 rating that we have him at, maybe an 87 rating. Showed some things, didn't show, you know, he didn't really do anything that would just wow you. And what I saw from some corners is like, Curly Reed, the 2023 cornerback from Lake Charles College Prep. If he would play outside containment and then his receiver would cut across the field, you know, Curly Reed was still able to get in there and get a hand on the ball. He recovered so well. He had that makeup speed. Didn't really see that with Marcus Scott. So he played pretty well in the one-on-ones on the deep balls. He was one of those guys, though, that even Rayshon Pleasance, the 2022 cornerback out of West Monroe, he's a guy that I was a little bit more impressed with, but he's also coming off of a knee injury as a junior. But, you know, even he wouldn't get beat as much to the inside. So that was just something that kind of just jumped out at me about Scott. And granted, you know, it's tough covering the middle of the field because you have that help in other situations. But just I saw the athleticism in Reed and Pleasant that maybe wasn't quite at that same level with Scott.
And, you know, that's not glowing praise, but look, I see what Corey Raymond sees in him.
The measurables are there,
yep,
man.
Exactly.
Long and lean, you know, he looks, you know, all of 6'2", about 170 pounds. And so, you know, there's that they've seen a lot more of him than just that little bit that I saw, because, man, I tell you what, dude, that Sunday, it was absolutely crazy in there for the morning session when all the guys worked out. You had 700 to 800 kids in the indoor facility. They couldn't go outside because it was storming in the morning and leading up to lunch. And so you had 700 to 800 kids in there. You had 300 to 400 parents on the sidelines. I mean, and you know what those sidelines are like just from fall camp and from previous camps. It was the most people that I've ever seen in that indoor facility at one time.
That's wild. And I mean, yeah, we've been in there for the spring game too, when they shut it down, you know, in Tiger Stadium, and everybody sprinted over for that. And that was wild. So yeah, the indoor, I mean, it's great. It's a great facility, especially since they added the new view with the weight room in there and everything like that. It's cool. But yeah, it's tight quarters, especially when there's that many kids. And let's finish off on a high note here, because there were two linebackers, one in the 2022 and one in the 2023 class, who were on campus on Sunday. And one is, and I'm probably butchering this, but Tausili Akana, the number one linebacker in the 2023 class, making his way over from Hawaii to do a round of visits. He checked out campus. And then Sean Murphy, top 247 linebacker out of Virginia in the 2022 class. Let's briefly hit on those. And then, oh, by the way, the number one linebacker in 2022, Harold Perkins, five-star, was on campus on Wednesday. Run us down those guys. I know they didn't camp, but at least on Sean Murphy, you're hearing some positive buzz there, Sonny.
Yeah. He, you know, it's an interesting note is that his mentor is the same mentor of Antoine Sampa, who's also from up there along the East Coast. So that's a little bit of familiarity that Murphy has with the program and some ties that LSU has that it can work that we didn't really know about before. And, you know, there's some confidence by some with the LSU staff who, you know, who feel good about Sean Murphy. Evidently he's made some other unannounced unofficial visits just to hang out with Sampa. So, you know, that's going to be one to watch. And then Durante Jones, he's, you know, from his time out at Hawaii, he's got some ties with the Akana family. And that was enough to get him on campus for an unofficial visit. I'm told the visit went really, really well. And that, that they said that they would definitely be coming back to check out Tiger Stadium for an official visit. So, you know, you can never have too many linebackers, and leading this into Harold Perkins. You've been, you know, digging up scoop on him throughout the process and stuff, and, you know, using those Texas ties, but evidently he came, visited on Wednesday, and then he's going to come back, you know, he's going to go back on Friday. Now, I wonder if they visited on Wednesday, they're going to see some family down in New Orleans, and then they're passing back through Baton Rouge on Friday, and he's going to stop by again. Or does that mean that he's just like, you know, went home to Houston, coming back, wants to spend another day in Baton Rouge. So, but regardless, when you get a chance to get that five-star like that on campus, whether, you know, regardless of the situation, you know, you got to consider that a win, especially during this hectic time.
Yeah, and he's fresh off Texas A&M official visit this past weekend. They've got the crystal ball lead, a lot of confidence at College Station, but this one is turning into an LSU, Texas, Texas A&M. There's a few others in there, I'm sure, and it's probably going to be one of those wild ones out of the Houston area, kind of like Kalevon Chasson a few years back. But he's a New Orleans native. He's been working out a lot in New Orleans with one of his trainers. So he's been in Louisiana a lot. He was back at his trainers, I believe, on Tuesday, maybe Monday, working out. And then he's pretty much kind of going to be around LSU he's already been there Wednesday, between today, Friday, just kind of making the rounds at LSU in a way now that he can. And he was also on campus for the spring game, taking that in. So I'm not saying LSU's getting him. I'm just saying this is a battle that is becoming a little bit crazier than what we thought it might be before the dead period ended. It was picking up steam in late April once he hit that spring game to check it out on his own. And then May, there was even, you know, some more confidence. But this is turning into one of those, I think, classic battles for a five-star out of the state of Texas. So we'll continue to track that one on go247.com. We'll have all your recruiting intel that you need on the upcoming official visitors. A lot of fun this past weekend tracking that. And be sure to check out go247.com for all the recaps from that weekend. Try us for just $1. You can get your first month taken care of. So you can kind of preview us for just $1 for, you know, the rest of the rest of the recruiting period and into July a little bit. So check that out and leave us a rating, leave us a review, and follow the Go 24/7 podcast wherever you check out your podcast. So for Sonny Shipp, I'm Billy Embody, wrapping up this edition of the podcast. Thanks for tuning in with us and have a great rest of the week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.